What is up, guys? It's Altered State Podcast, episode 84. That's John. I'm Brandon. What's up, man?
Oh, feels good to be back in the seat.
Right?
I'll tell you what, after a week off, you know, that Valentine's Day, having to, like, be adults and, you know, have fun with our families.
Yep. Boo. Who needs that? You need to talk about WandaVision.
Oh, my God, dude. How much better has it gotten every week?
Right. To me, at this point, if you don't like it, then you stopped watching an episode like two.
Right.
You gave up. I'm not saying it. You had every right to question it at first because no one knew what the hell was going on.
Sure.
But looking at it now, it's an amazing show.
And that's kind of, I think that was exactly what I expected after the first week. Because I was like, okay, I don't get it. There's nothing here that's hooking me yet.
Right.
But persist, because trust Marvel. And I've not been let down.
Right. Yeah, the first couple episodes were just like a Easter egg type shows. Like,
yeah,
random things, and ooh, there's a helicopter. Ooh, there's this. Or ooh, there, you know, there was nothing. Like, what the fuck is this?
Just felt really in the dark.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's by design.
Which is what the main character was. She's in the dark. You know, that's kind of how you're meant to feel, I guess. So.
I think the biggest flaw with the show is that we, as consumers, are conditioned to consume differently right now.
Sure, that's fair.
You know, like, I think we have so many options at our fingertips and such a short attention span that consuming a product like that week to week with no real nothing to really hold on to, mm-hmm. is hard.
Sure.
Like, it's very much against our, like, kind of current consumer behavior.
Well, and especially when the last year, weeks have seemed like months.
Oh, my God.
So when you have to wait a week to figure out what happens next, you're like, that takes forever. It's right. way too long. This is, can't do it. I'm moving on.
Yeah.
So.
There's always something new.
That's right.
But it's been really just such a delight watching, especially this last episode. Like, so we weren't on last week, so that episode was like the Malcolm in the Middle Halloween, which was definitely cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I very much enjoyed that episode, but I felt like it was more just kind of feeling out the world.
Yeah, it didn't really move the story that much.
This most recent one.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Like, I know I've said this every week, but once again, can we just take a minute to appreciate Lizzie Olsen's acting chops?
Very good.
Like, dude, her, like, talking head segments in this episode, fucking haunting, man. Like, totally. She was very good.
I've heard, I'm talking to people about it. They're looking just to do a straight Wanda movie now based on her performance in this show. I mean, that's how great the feedback is. They want a Wanda movie. Basically a Scarlet Witch movie, obviously.
So. I want more Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah. Yep.
In everything. Me and too. That's not something I've ever wanted. It's not something I've ever not wanted. You know, I've never had any beef with Elizabeth Olsen by any means, but I've also never been like, her being on the title card of something was never a selling point for me.
Sure.
It was always like, oh, okay, that's a name I know.
Right.
And now that I've seen her range and her, I'm like, that's now a selling point for me.
Like, agreed.
If I see Elizabeth Olsen in a movie, I am now infinitely more inclined to give that movie a shot.
Sure. Sure. So where do we start with this?
Can
we talk about how, I mean, do you go right to Agatha? Do you go
look at Photon?
You know, what is S.W.O.R.D.'s real agenda here?
That's an interesting. So this is the only Marvel thing that Libby's ever been interested in,
mm-hmm.
which is exciting for me.
Yeah.
So I get to watch it with her every week. And this week I was kind of, we were getting to hypothesize together, which was fun, even though she doesn't have a deep back knowledge.
Sure. Which can sometimes be good.
Right.
Sometimes too much knowledge clouds your view.
Absolutely. So, you know, the is Agatha actually the big bad?
I'm saying no.
Because Like, we've only got two episodes left, mm-hmm. and they've finally given us a villain.
Right.
Are we to believe she is the actual villain? Because it was like, making Wanda the villain was the red herring right. the whole time.
Right.
But you could kind of see through it because every person that got, like, zapped out of it always said, she's in my head. She's in control. But right. they never said Wanda.
Right.
With the exception of Monica Rambeau. And she's also the only person who didn't abide by the rest of the rules of Westview. So I think that alone was like, okay, there's another she. Because they don't say anything by accident.
Usually, yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
So, I think we know that Agatha has a lot. I think Agatha's in control of what's going on. But I don't know if she's, operating under someone else's bidding.
Right.
There's a real Rosemary's Baby totally. Situation going yeah, on where she's trying to steal kids.
Right. I by no means know either way. My view would be something along those lines, like you're saying, or what she does purposely or unintentionally creates a portal for the big mm-hmm. bad to come through, or for something. Maybe she didn't want to do it, but the big bad comes through based on her action. You know what I mean? Something yeah. along those lines.
Well, so
like a Lex Luthor type move. You know sure. what I mean? Like, not like Superman 4, like the guy from the sun type, but you know.
Well, so the questions that I still have, though, and I think this is it again by design. This all started as a missing persons case,
right?
We still don't know who that missing person is,
right?
The Agnes character always refers to Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ralph actually the big bad? Is Ralph,
Mephisto kind of thing?
Sure,
right.
I don't even want to entertain. Everyone keeps going for Mephisto that I don't even want it to be.
Yeah.
Like, that would almost be a disappointment at this point.
Do you know, it would and it wouldn't, if what I heard today, and this actually I heard because this was on a YouTube thing, which I've gone to this channel before, and a lot of what they've said has been right. I don't know how I feel about this. They based a lot of it on, Paul Bettany's talking about, we talked about this, I think, last time about, the big surprise is an actor who he hasn't worked with in the past, but he's excited to. And most people are pointing towards Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
This person is saying it's Al fucking Pacino playing Mephisto. He did play the devil in, was it Devil's Advocate?
What was I mean.
Or whatever. But, I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't want it.
Because
I trust the people make. I don't want it because I want to be. I really want to be kind of shocked.
Sure.
I want to feel the way that I felt when Luke Skywalker showed up.
Right.
I've
heard the end of the show, though, is going to be depressing.
Oh, I'd have to imagine. You know what I mean? This entire show.
I'm sure Vision dies again.
Right, I'd have to think so.
Or whatever, sacrifices himself to do whatever type thing.
It's an entire show about grief.
Right, right.
That
I haven't dug deep into it. I'm not sure if you've read anything about it. The commercial theories that they're all one of the Infinity Stones. Each commercial.
In the first six episodes,
yeah.
And this last one was the Nexus.
Yeah.
I
don't know how I feel about that either way. It doesn't matter to me. But
I think that's kind of a fun Easter egg. I don't think that
matters. Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
So mentioning the Nexus.
Yeah.
Just bringing up that commercial and introducing that name. We said, introducing Pietro, changes everything. But this really does, too, because the Nexus is basically the way to the multiverse.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kind of.
Well, I think
the purgatory, or for lack of a best word, then you go through.
That brings an interesting question that I've been thinking about. So now we know, this version of Pietro is just, a puppet to Agatha Harkness. But that means that just, part of the storyline is recasting Pietro,
mm-hmm.
right? So my question is, or my wondering is, did Agatha pull that version out of the X-Men universe and bring him over to be that, or... is it just because the show wanted to do a recast Pietro and they thought this is a fun Easter egg to have that to have this actor that people like. It feels like it's too big it to is. Be.
Well, just the fact that he can't remember, like his memories are mixed kind of with that Pietro and Peter, basically. Yeah. They don't ever call him Peter, but
yeah.
Once again, it's one of those crazy things. You're like, where are they going with it? If this was still happening in the first two episodes, but like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
But they've answered enough to where it's weird. They almost blew up the universe by introducing mutants.
Uh-huh.
But then they almost closed it again by saying, well, not really.
Right.
So they're kind of, they're fucking with you, which, exactly. You know, hey, it's,
but that's what so we pay like, for. But, so it's coming down to, like, I still think there's something big with the missing person. And I think Ralph has something to do with that.
Sure.
And nothing they do is by accident. Mm-hmm. So there is that moment where Wanda is pouring the bowl of cereal and she's pouring from the milk carton and you see the missing kid.
Yeah.
As like the missing persons and it's a child.
Mm-hmm, of course.
We know that Agatha is clearly trying to get to the twins. Like, right. There's a Rosemary's Baby component to that. And up until the Halloween episode, and they made note, where are the children? Where are the children?
Right.
So there's something here about harvesting children. That's a big part of this that we really don't have any information on.
Yeah.
We don't have information on who Ralph is. We don't have information on who the missing person is.
Right.
I still look back on, I think it was episode 2 or 3, 2. Episode 2 when they were like, when they did the talent show and there was the blonde woman played by Emma Caulfield who was like, everyone was kind of, she was kind of like the town bitch or whatever.
The first red we saw, right? And, when she bled or something, yeah.
And she's only shown up like in sideways glances since then.
Yeah.
Like I'm wondering if she is a bigger component here. I think they keep looking at Captain Hayward as like, I think he's too overtly kind of mustache twirling villainish that he's going to end up actually being a good guy.
Yeah.
Like I think he's kind of a red herring. Like they want, he's just an obstacle. I
look
don't
at
think
me,
he's
look
actually,
at this kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's actually a villain in any of this.
Yeah.
But there's just
great storytelling.
There's a lot there. And I really need these last two episodes to be longer.
Yeah, I think so. I think they got to be at least 40, right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at it, but
well, I keep getting teased because they're all like 38 minutes, but there's fucking 9 minutes of credits.
That's true. Yeah, and this was the first one, you know, with a
post-credit
scene.
Snooper's gonna snoop,
right? And then her eyes kind of go blue, so it's almost like now she's under Agatha's control,
right?
You know, so what's that?
But
mean?
That's what it's gonna be cool to see Photon.
Yep.
I
you think they go with Photon or they go with Spectrum?
I think they go with Photon because that's the call sign that they used for her earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that's the easiest grab. But she did exhibit the Spectrum power, like you saw that vision.
Yep.
And they've also she's already been announced as part of the cast of Captain Marvel 2.
Right.
So I also think that I don't think they're necessarily going to give her a name. Like I don't think we're going to see
very true,
you know, I think I think that in universe characters, we'll just call her Monica.
Sure.
Just like they never call Carol Danvers Captain Marvel.
Right. Right.
Like, we know that as a view, but
they never referred to Hawkeye as Ronan.
Right.
When he did his craziness there in Japan.
Yeah. So I don't think we'll, you know, I think we might see like her wearing her military uniform that has her call sign of Photon on it.
Right.
But I don't think we'll get like a proper name. And I do also think there is room. So, like, you know, at one point, she wore the mantle of Captain Marvel. And I think there's been some contentious negotiations between Brie Larson and Disney.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they're building Monica Rambeau as kind of a contingency plan.
We need
like,
that. Yeah.
I think they're kind of like, cool, she can be her own hero. But if shit goes south, we could make her Captain Marvel real quick.
That's right.
So I think they're going to be like reticent to even give her a name until there's something long term in place there with Brie Larson.
And with all the teasing, like the Fantastic Four type stuff, you know,
I know an astrophysicist.
All that kind of shit. I thought that introduction, this has popped in my head, I could be way off. The introduction of that little spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
was kind of, this is our most heavily armored spacecraft. Like,
right.
You know, maybe so-and-so was in something like this and some, you know, I don't know. I just love the way they're dropping little things to where the introduction will be so smooth and like you really almost didn't realize it happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? But having said that, I don't even know if they've cast anybody for that. So how do you introduce... You can't throw John Krasinski in there all of a sudden. With no one's gonna,
You could.
You could. How did you keep that quiet?
How do you keep fucking Mark Hamill quiet, bro?
Well, like, but it was more digital. That's a little easier, I feel like. You know, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier.
With the amount of people trying to get spoilers out of these shows.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I think what Disney Plus, I think what these production teams have learned to do better than anything is intentionally give us enough leaks that you feel like, you, like, Evan Peters showing up.
Right.
Was pretty well, was pretty well figured. Right. Just like.
They didn't try to hide him on set kind of thing.
Right. Just like Boba Fett showing up was like, this was going to happen.
Sure.
Bo-Katan, Ahsoka. We knew those things were coming.
Right.
So, like, you, when you feel like you have enough.
Yeah.
You're like, no, this is the thing. This is the thing. And I've tried very hard to kind of avoid spoilers online. Like, I haven't looked at anything or read it. I like being along for the ride. So I kind of intentionally avoid it. But I still think, I think we're going to be surprised. And I think
so.
Yeah. And I think that Fantastic Four is the right surprise.
It'd be huge.
In this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think Doctor Strange showing up is super logical.
Mm-hmm.
Because this introduces the multiverse, which is the multiverse of madness. I think if Mephisto shows up, they're setting him up as the villain in Multiverse of Madness. Like, I don't think there's going to be a conclusion to this show. I think this show is basically going to be a prologue to Multiverse of Madness.
Sure, I agree with that.
I think this is going to end very tragically with no real resolution. And Multiverse of Madness is essentially the sequel and conclusion to this show directly.
I can agree with that.
So I think I think we have to get Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange. And that could be the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that is pretty fucking big.
It is, yeah.
I don't want it to be Mephisto because I just don't want to feel like I already know what's going to happen.
Sure.
You know, like there's going to be a little bit of a letdown to me if they're like, didn't do a good enough job keeping that secret.
That's fair.
You know,
I'm just saying, yeah. But, yeah.
And I think Agatha Harkness is like, I mean, we all knew from the beginning Catherine Hahn was going to be something bigger.
Right.
And when you name a character Agnes.
Right. You're showing us.
There's a lot there was like, okay, like, yeah, the first time viewer is not going to pick that up. But anyone familiar with Scarlet Witch as a comic book character can see that's Agatha Harkness.
Sure.
Like that's.
I wasn't aware.
Pretty
I forget
Front Street.
Which Spider-Man it was, but she played, it was the voice of Doc Ock.
Oh, and yeah, into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. I just realized that today.
Yeah.
Kind of random.
That movie's so good.
Yeah. Yep.
But like I'm all in for what's coming. I loved the transformation scene with Monica becoming Photon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that was a really cool scene. And I love the voiceovers with Samuel L. and with Bree.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, like, visually that was really intriguing.
But it also shows you can do an origin story in 20 minutes.
Right.
You don't have to do a whole movie about an origin story. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Well, I think now that the universe is so well set up and established.
That's fair.
That like
it doesn't take setting up other characters outside to build it. I know what you're saying, but yeah.
You know, it used to like when you're talking about you had to give an origin story to Captain America. You had to give an origin story to Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
You had to give an origin story to
Iron Man.
To Iron Man.
Yeah.
you had to set up the world that Thor came from.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, they didn't give Spider-Man an origin story. Thank fucking God.
Right, yeah.
Didn't need that for the 19th time.
Right, right.
They
didn't have... Well, they had a... Well, Darcy had a pretty good role in this last week's... This week's whatever. Yeah. But the more I see her on there, I just want a Darcy and Wu spinoff.
Oh, yeah, man.
I would watch them... X-Files it out.
I want them... I don't want them to get their own show. I want them to be like Night Nurse style. I just want them to appear in all of the other Disney Plus.
They just randomly show up.
Yeah. I just want Darcy out of this to get hired by the FBI and work in the same office as Jimmy Woo.
Yep.
And they just keep showing up at superpowered events.
She's fantastic.
Oh, she's hilarious. She is wonderful. Yeah. And the dude who also, I'm losing his name, who plays Jimmy Woo, also super so funny, fantastic. Super charming.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
man, I want that.
Yep.
I want that character in everything.
I hope he's prevalent in the next Ant-Man, too. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Him and Paul Rudd are great together.
Yeah, they play well off each other.
They're really funny. I just had something. What was I going to talk about? Damn it. I got to start writing things down.
Right. Well, you're out of space in your composition notebook, man.
That's right. It is. I got, nope, this is the last page. There's something written on that one, so.
Oh,
whole
damn.
New book next week.
Yeah.
It's a whole new.
Well, you're going to need it, because we're going to have pages and pages on WandaVision as it's getting closer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Jimmy Woo, Darcy. Oh, I saw some random fan theory. When I read it, I'm like, of course this isn't true, but it would have been funny that when Darcy got...
Passed through.
She would have been her character from Two Broke Girls because it was like the same time frame. That would have been, or at least the waitress type shit. That would have been pretty funny. But
yeah,
she was great. Her and Paul Bettany's interactions I thought were fantastic. They had great chemistry too. Them in that van was hilarious. And just, you know, when he does the confessions to the camera and then realizes, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
That was a great little spot. Yeah. I loved it. So
I think he has gotten better and better. That I am wondering if they kill Vision again, or if they find a way to keep him alive. Because I think...
People love him.
Right. Well, people love him.
Yeah.
And as we're seeing, I think this next phase is going to... I think Wanda's going to be a really important character for the next 5 to 6 years.
I'm with you, yeah.
And I think... her everything... from the moment she's shown up has been tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that character needs a win in order to remain grounded, I think. And I think bringing Pietro back to life is the wrong move. But I think Vision's a synthesoid. The only thing he was missing was the Mind Stone.
Right.
Like, I think you can bring him back to life without it being too, like... oh, this is bullshit and deaths don't matter.
That's right.
Because death still has to matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you can bring back a human character to life. I think that's jumping the shark.
Right.
But I think with a synthezoid, you can pull it off. And yeah. I think her character needs that.
Yeah. Well, just on, you know, like I said, based on what he is, he could be in any form.
Yeah.
Technically, it doesn't have to look the way Vision looks.
Mm-hmm.
His whatever you want. I don't know. Not really a CPU. He's a fucking whatever he is. But yeah. You know what I'm saying. Talk to Siri and Wakanda. She'll put something together. He could be in anything, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
let's build a new vessel.
Exactly.
That also looks a lot like Paul Bettany.
Exactly. And sounds just like him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's wonderful.
As long as they keep Jarvis, they have Ultron.
Yeah.
Or Ultron. No, they keep
Vision.
All of them.
Yeah,
they got them all.
The whole team.
They got the whole of them in there. So, yeah. So,
but
yeah. I'm pumped on it. Where are we at time wise? We need a break. Are we good to go?
Yeah, let's take a little breather and then we'll come back.
That felt like 5 minutes or 20. I wasn't sure what that was there. So,
all right, we'll take a quick break. And we're back.
All right. So I got a couple random things I saw today.
Okay.
The last couple days. One I saw made me think of you right away. HBO Max is going to develop a new Swamp Thing show.
Really?
Looking like it might just be a total reboot. Not sure what they're going to do with the previous stuff.
That surprises me because the one they did...
It had a cult following. It has a cult following.
It was well made.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't understand why that, if since they're continuing, since HBO Max took on Titans and Harley Quinn and Doom Patrol,
yep.
It seems odd to me.
I don't know if it's just they can't get that group together again or what. I don't know the answer to that, but, and it didn't say for sure, but it said they are for sure doing a Swamp Thing TV show going forward. It did not say 100% if it was same people or if it was going to be just a hard reboot.
Swamp Thing's so tight.
I enjoyed what I didn't watch that. The whole season, but I enjoyed the five or six episodes I saw, three or four episodes I saw.
I love the character. I think, like, I'm not, like, super into horror comics, but I always appreciate, like I feel like Swamp Thing is the perfect blend for me of, like, horror and hero. It's like, it's not like a true horror comic, but it's also not like a superhero comic at all.
Yeah.
So I've always just kind of had fun with that. I've always liked that aspect of it.
It tells much different stories than other.
Right. Like it fits in the universe, but not like super tightly.
Sure. I know what you're saying.
And I like that.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, that's fair.
From all of the other shit.
I saw this sparked my interest for a couple reasons. We had talked previously, you know, The Flash is bringing in Keaton and who knows who else for their...
Yeah, their Flashpoint.
Their Flashpoint big type deal. Stuff. They were trying to get Bale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking they probably didn't because now they want Tom Hardy.
I have to think that's an easier get.
I would think so, too. I almost like that idea better.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see Bale do whatever he does. But if I'm only going to see that character for 30, 40 seconds or a couple minutes, give me some pain. Aww. That's fucking great. Bruce. Yeah. Oh, you came back to die with your city. It's great. That's one of those character choices that it's either going to make a mess of the entire movie or it just works. And that voice just works so well for some.
I loved it.
I love it too.
When people would shit on that Bane voice, I was like, why?
Yeah. I thought
that's
it was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Did you ever see, you know, I'm a child. I still watch South Park all the time. There was a South Park a few years back where they all thought the UPS man, Amazon guy was banging their wives. Cause he's always there, you know, cause there's always buying Amazon stuff. But they corner him in an alley, and they're all wearing Bane masks and talk like Bane. Like, oh, Mr. UPS man. You know, it was fucking hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah. You should have left our wives alone, Mr. UPS man. That's great. That's great.
Speaking of HBO Max.
Yes.
Did you see the Mortal Kombat trailer?
I did not see the trailer yet.
Oh, my God.
I saw
God.
It's out there, but I haven't watched
we
it
We are watching it yes. the minute we are done here. It is so badass. It got me so excited. And it's like... It got me excited the exact way the trailer for Godzilla vs. Kong did.
Okay, sure.
It's like, I know what I'm here for, and it looks like you want to deliver that.
Nice.
Like, I don't care about a human story. I don't care about, like, being moved.
Character development.
Right.
Yeah.
I want you to do just enough to set up a logical premise.
Right, give me a fight.
And then just let it go.
That's right.
And this trailer looks very much like that.
Are you at all worried that it's going to be one of those amazing trailer movies that's just an amazing trailer and they gave you all the great shit in that trailer?
No.
Oh, good. That's good.
I'm not. I'm not just because I...
Who made this? Do you know?
This is Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And I the reason that I think that is because it's the same or similar minds behind who've been doing the Godzilla and King Kong movies.
Sure.
And like Skull Island and King of Monsters and just straight up Godzilla all work. They all work because they understand what they are. None of them try to tell a like overwhelmingly human story. Mm-hmm. They give you enough information that like, yeah, I understand why this is happening, I guess. But really they let the people kind of get out of the way for the most part.
Right.
You know, the first Godzilla did not as good of a job, but like Godzilla King of Monsters and Kong Skull Island are both awesome and they're both very much driven by the monsters. Which is what I want from those movies.
Totally.
You know, like I'm not going to like when the 2005 Jack Black King Kong, like I don't need a 2.5 hour adventure story. Right.
Of getting to Kong Island.
And, yeah. Right. Like that's not,
right.
That's not what I'm here for.
It's the Spider-Man origin story all over again.
Right. Like I don't.
Hey, guess what? Ben dies.
If I want that kind of story told, I would go to a different type of movie.
Totally.
Right.
So I'd read the book.
I think there is a certain awareness right now of like, we know what we're making and what and who we're making it for. So let's just get out of our own way and give that. At least that's what I'm hoping. And this trailer, like, it looks like the last 30 seconds of it is a Scorpion Sub-Zero fight scene. And it's like a 30, you see like 30 seconds of the fight scene. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking give me that. That's the movie that I want to watch.
I didn't see a clip of it, but I saw, you know, the picture of the clip. And just looking at it, it looked like the first Matrix movie. Like, as far as the way it's shot. Kind of, you know.
I can see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I enjoy. That's not a slam by any means.
Yeah. I can see that parallel.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it looks very, very cool.
Okay.
I'm very stoked.
Almost like live action anime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I enjoy that look or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not a cinephile really, so I guess I am, but I'm not an expert on the way movies are shot, so I don't know camera techniques and all that kind of shit.
It was something that when it was announced, I didn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm a child that grew up in the 90s. Of course, I played the shit out of Mortal Kombat, but like, neither of the first two movies did anything for me.
Right.
It's not the type of thing that I think merits a movie.
Sure.
So it's just like, when they announced, I was like, okay, whatever. And then I saw a trailer and I was like, nope, you got me. You found my money.
Awesome. I'm going to give it a shot then.
It doesn't have to take any money because it's coming straight to fucking HBO Max.
Yeah. I'm watching it. Right.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's like April 16th too. It's coming soon. Oh shit.
That's quick. Yeah.
Yeah, like really, we've got...
We're rolling through this.
Once we get into March, man...
See,
because March is Snyder Cut.
This just goes to show pop culture makes the world move faster.
Right?
Once there's shit out there, we're watching WandaVision every week. We're watching Winter Soldier every week. Now we're going to get movies.
Things seem to move along. That we have, since... Like, Marvel released their schedule from the first day of WandaVision, which was what? January 19th, something like that, until Christmas Eve, there is a new piece of Marvel entertainment every Friday.
That's fantastic.
This entire year.
That's fantastic.
Like, right when WandaVision's over, the next week is a making of WandaVision special. Right. Then the next week starts Winter Soldier.
Right.
Then the week after that is... making of the Winter Soldier.
Right.
Week after that is Black Widow.
Yep.
Week after that is Loki. Week after that is making of Loki. Week after that is Shang-Chi.
I was going to say the Kung Fu one comes out. Yeah. I think that's a hidden gem, by the way. I think
absolutely, man. It's going to be awesome.
People don't know what the fuck that is for the most part. And I think that's going to blow some shit up. Like, it's going to be
that and Eternals both.
Yeah.
Going to be.
Agreed.
I think there are things that no one really knows what we're getting.
Yeah.
And I think Marvel's kind of lulling us in with like all of these legacy characters moving to Disney+. Mm-hmm. But then, like, with the exception of Black Widow, the shit we're gonna see cinematically this year is gonna be fucking gnarly.
Agreed.
Like, it's gonna be all sorts of new and interesting shit, and I am here for it.
Me too.
But yeah, every single Friday until Christmas Eve.
That's awesome.
And that's gonna be immediately followed up by Book of Boba.
Right.
And then basically Star Wars will do the same thing next year. Like, we're just going to alternate from the year of Star Wars to the year of Marvel for eternity.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about that.
You know, I don't eat Chinese food like I used to as much, but is this like the year of the mouse then, basically? I mean, it has to be.
I think it's the universe of the mouse.
Jeez, man.
I think the House of Mouse is just taking us.
That fucking mouse is shitting money right now.
Dude, there's been all sorts of cool shit coming out of Disney this week.
Yeah.
Like, I am a Disney kid, so I understand that. But, like, in a couple of weeks, we get that Raya and the Last Dragon.
Oh, sure. I've seen a preview for that.
That looks... Like, I'm going to pay the $30 premium access for that. One, because the kids will want to watch that, for sure. And that's one that I would have taken them to the theater to see. So it's like, okay, I'll spend the $30 now to avoid us having to go to the theater.
Right.
Like, but it looks... awesome. They just dropped the trailer for Cruella.
Saw that, yep.
That looks sick. I didn't see
the trailer,
sick.
But I saw they were dropping the trailer, yeah.
Oh, my God,
look
dude.
Look good?
It looked awesome.
Nice. See, not really my thing.
Yeah, I am that kid. Like, I get you. At the end of the day, I am far more of a family entertainment guy than adult entertainment guy.
Okay.
Which feels kind of weird to say, even.
No.
But I just am. I'm more interested, and it's not even like I'm that way because I have kids. I mean, it gives me more of an excuse. But even in my 20s, like I went and saw fucking Ratatouille in the theaters.
Sure.
And I didn't have a girlfriend when that came out. You know, much like most of my life. But I still want to go see that. Like, I like family entertainment.
Sure. I understand.
It's just kind of generally fun for me. And so, like, Ryan the Last Dragon. Oh, speaking of which, watch a new movie this week that I would 100% recommend. It is fantastic family entertainment. Just dropped on Disney Plus, Flora and Ulysses.
I saw it when I was scrolling through to get Wanda. You watched it?
So, yeah, we watched it with the kids because it was one that they wanted to watch. We're like, okay. And I went into it even thinking, like, yeah, this will be a cute thing to watch with the kids. It'll be totally fine. It was really fun.
Good.
Man. Bobby Moynihan plays a comic book store owner.
I love Bobby Moynihan.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah.
At Ben Schwartz.
Sure.
Who's, Jean Ralphio and Sonic the Hedgehog. Had Danny Pudi from Community, who I think is super funny. Your girl, Janine Garofalo.
Oh, great.
Shows up in it.
I thought you were trying to get me in this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Janine Garofalo shows up. Allison Hannigan is in it.
Okay, that's better.
It's just really fun. It's really cute.
All right.
Like, it's not like...
Nice.
I'm not going to be like... Holy shit, dude, go watch this movie. It's awesome.
Right.
But, like, it was a really fun palate cleanser for me. Like, I feel like it's the type of movie that I needed right now. Like, didn't make me think, just was wholesome. There was a few, like, really funny laugh out loud moments. There's some really good, like, physical gags in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, kind of Jim Carrey-ish, kind of pratfall comedy.
I like it.
That was like, yeah, that's just kind of fun. It's a movie that understood what it was. They're like, you know, it's like, we're making a movie that's for 10-year-olds. So it needs to be only as action-packed as a 10-year-old needs. But we also understand that most 10-year-olds are going to be seeing this with their parents. So let's throw in some stuff that's entertaining for the parents.
That's cool. Yeah.
And it totally was, man. It was very fun.
Nice.
And the comic shop that Bobby Moynihan runs looks dope. And it just made me... It made me pretty envious. I'm not going
to
lie.
All right. I'm going to have to check it out just for that.
Damn.
Bobby Moynihan...
That's a cool fucking store.
He's one of those guys that is so underrated, I think. After he left SNL, people don't give him the respect.
No.
He dominated... He was a huge part of SNL for like 100%. 4 or 5 years right there. So funny.
Mr. Mayor... That's on right now.
Oh, yeah. Ted Danson
plays the mayor.
Yeah.
Bobby Moynihan plays like his speech writer.
Yeah.
Fucking hysterical.
I'll give that a shot.
Like, the show itself, totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whatever sitcom. But, like, I watch it every week because Bobby Moynihan does two or three things every episode that fucking get me, like, in my belly.
Right. I mean, it's an old type joke, but when he does Drunk Uncle.
Oh, my God.
Shit myself, man.
I loved when he did Drunk Uncle, and I loved also on Weekend Update when he did Anthony Crispino, the secondhand news guy.
Yes, that's right.
So a set.
Keep looking to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you hear this? You hear about this?
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of old SNL lately, and that every time Bobby Moynihan shows up on Weekend Update.
I think it's right.
I think I got it, Seth. I'm pretty sure I got it.
Oh, it's so funny. I need to go back and just watch old SNLs. I have, you know, the app,
Peacock.
The Peacock now. I'm going to have to get it now. We haven't talked about this. Oh, my gosh. Do you know about this? Huh. Why I have to get Peacock?
Because wrestling's on it?
Yes. They're getting rid of my wrestling app,
mm-hmm.
and it's all rolling to... I don't know. I'm still in flux. I don't know if I get an automatic Peacock subscription because I'm still paying for my wrestling thing. If it just runs out, I don't know.
I think you're probably going to end up on the plus side because Peacock's $5 a month.
Is it? I think I'm paying like 10, 12 for the wrestling thing.
Yeah, so. I think you're going to end up ahead here.
All right.
You're going to get more content. You're going to get a bunch of comedy and your wrestling for less
money. Less. All right. As long as that still includes my pay-per-views, I'm okay.
Yeah.
See, that wouldn't... I don't know... They haven't come out with any information as far as what that entails. Like,
sure.
Because, you know, my $10.99, I get all the pay-per-views, which there's one tonight. It's part of the deal.
Well, I'm sure... I think Peacock's going to evolve really quickly because they're adding that, and then they also announced that they're killing NBC Sports Network.
Right.
That will no longer exist by the end of this year.
Right.
So I have to think... And they already do, like, on Peacock Premium... You can like live stream like English Premier League soccer.
Okay.
So I'm sure it'll be like, yeah, Peacock Premium, you get all of our shit and you get everything in WWE and you get fucking 3 hockey games a week and you get playoff hockey.
Like live events or whatever. Yeah.
And you get fucking Premier League soccer.
All right. All right. I'm worried. I'm not going to lie. I'm worried.
Yeah.
It's nervous to a guy like me.
Sure. Sure.
And this is a big part of my weekends.
No, but we do the Peacock because like I watch old SNL all the time. It is no mystery to everyone who would listen here. One of my top 3 all-time favorite shows is Cheers. Mm-hmm. Like watching old Cheers. Mm-hmm. Parks and Rec, another one of my all-time favorites. I got to have Parks and Rec in rotation.
Sure. Yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I love.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good shit on the Peacock.
All right. I'm not dissing the Peacock.
Yeah.
I feel like I say cock. I put an emphasis on cock when I say it. I need to figure out how to make more fluent.
Yeah.
Anyways. But I'm just worried. I'm just worried.
It is worrisome that we are just in the era of everybody creating a streaming platform.
Right.
It's just annoying.
Right.
And it's funny because eventually they'll just package all of the streaming networks together and it'll be cable.
It'll be cable again. Right. Yep.
But I'm fine with my beef with cable is not cable existing. It's that I don't get to make choices.
Right.
And that I
charge for things you don't need and don't use.
And that I have to pay extra for the amount of TVs I use in my house.
Sure.
And I have to have hardware. And you have to be on contracts. Like, yeah. I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
The streaming services, it's like, oh, I can sign up and now it's on my TV. And I can watch it on my basement TV or my living room TV.
And I cannot pay next month if I don't want it.
Right. Or yeah, if I decide like, you know what, this fucking streaming service isn't for me, I'll cut it off. And then if in 2 months I'm like, you know what, I actually do kind of miss it, I can turn it back on. That's important to me. So if it all becomes into a thing where it's like, oh, you can get this package and it includes these apps and you can choose which ones. Cool, man. I'm here for that.
Totally.
I'm not inherently against cable. Right. I'm just...
I know what you're saying.
I'm against the bullshit that comes with it.
You're forced. It's more of a forced...
Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And even when it's forced, you're still just under someone else's shit. Like, oh, now I have to wait for someone to be able to come out and install.
Yeah.
And I have to have someone come service this. And then I have to... Oh, I got to find a way to get this cable box in my bedroom. Like, it's all just annoying.
This is terrible again, but once again, South Park, have you seen that one? Where the cable companies are like, you know, they're dicks like that. And they're just, they go to bitch about, long drawn out story. The parents are all watching that murder porn stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so the kids put parental locks on their TVs so the parents can't access it. The only way to access it was like by knowing Minecraft. Basically. So they had, anyway, long story. So they go to the cable companies trying to get the parental locks removed. And the cable companies are like, oh, no, we can't do... They're all upset. Like, oh, is that inconvenient for you? And they rip off their shirt and they start, like, diddling their nipples. They're like, oh, sorry, we can have a technician out there for, like, 4 or 5 days. Sorry. You know, it's fucking hilarious.
Right. And it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, I can do all of this on the computer by myself.
Right.
And I can get exactly what I want. So it's like, if I end up paying $100 a month for different streaming services... That's okay with me if I'm getting what I want when I want it.
Sure. Totally. Yep. Yeah. I've been.
But if I don't get cable because it's like even at $100 a month, I have to watch something at a certain time in the one room of the house that I can afford to put cable to.
Sure.
Like No. Yeah. No, that's fucking dumb.
And I think this is one of those, I'll probably always have cable just because I'm used to it. It's a familiar, I just grew up with it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what it's like. I wouldn't know how to watch TV another way.
You'll figure it out.
I don't think I could do it properly.
I'm sure you'll figure it out.
We were talking a little SNL. Did you watch SNL last night?
Yes.
I enjoyed it, but I also feel like it's kind of forgettable.
Yes.
There wasn't anything that really stuck out. Nothing was terrible. Nothing was like, ugh, fucking horrible. But
I think last night's episode was particularly silly.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Yeah, or it's like when I watched it.
Very light.
Yeah. Yes. And like each of those sketches made me laugh out loud, but also like, yeah, there's none that I'm like, oh man, that was brilliant.
Right, right.
I think the cold open was really funny.
The Britney thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've grown to really love A.D. Bryant doing Ted Cruz.
Pretty funny.
She's done that like three episodes. And she does a really funny Ted Cruz.
They're just kind of on that track, which I think is very funny, of in general having women play men more.
Yeah.
And it works a lot. Not just like playing Justin Bieber or some stupid little thing, but like, you know, the Ted Cruz roles or the whatever.
Yeah. And it just works. Kate McKinnon did a number of good people.
Yeah, like a Giuliani administration. Right. Totally. Totally. Yeah. And A.D. Bryant did somebody else last week too. Another man. I'd have to go back and look, but it was damn funny. I can't think of who it was.
She's funny.
She's so funny. She's so funny. The monologue she was great in when she came out. Right. She was great. She was great.
I think what SNL is doing right now is really trying to distance themselves from any sort of political comedy. Because even like, you have to make a jab at Ted Cruz based on what's going on.
Right.
But it wasn't a political sketch.
A year ago, they would have destroyed him.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? It would have just
totally
destroyed him.
And I think it's a two. I think one, it's a, you know, we'd be lying if we didn't say it was a liberal leaning show.
Sure, yeah.
So they don't want to skewer the left.
Yeah.
But also I think it's just smart because it's like, regardless of which side you're, I think everyone's just feeling the fatigue of like
fighting for so long.
Right.
Arguing about every fucking thing.
Right. Things really reached an extreme point during the Trump administration as far as divisiveness goes.
Right.
And I think, especially considering the year that we've just had, I think everyone's just fatigued.
Right.
Like there is no,
well, and not to
nothing
be
good is coming from making fun of it.
Totally.
You know, like you're just furthering a divide at this point. You're just giving more people more ammo to be anxious or vitriolic.
Right.
And it's like, I'm as bleeding heart of a liberal as they come. I don't need to hear about Ted Cruz being a piece of shit.
I was gonna say, once
or whatever.
Again,
like it's not bringing me joy.
Exactly.
It's not like when they used to make fun of George W. Bush. It's like, yeah, that was funny.
Funny, right?
Because it's like, I didn't hate that guy.
Right.
I disagreed with his policy, but I didn't hate that guy.
That's right.
And I didn't hate the people that voted for him.
That's right. That's right.
Where it's like, now it's like, okay, this isn't fun anymore.
And to me,
this isn't a good time.
That's how you,
this isn't fun.
If you hate a certain political, or dislike, I won't say hate, if you, you know, don't agree with a certain political ideal or party or person or whatever, you know, when I sort of started watching comedy, the way to make, or to take the air out of that person's sails was to make them
a caricature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Bush says, not going to do it, he said that like one time.
Right.
And they used that for 8 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just go with something like that and make them the joke, not,
right,
you know, like,
how much mileage did Will Ferrell get out of strategery?
Fuck, exactly, man. You know, and it just makes them, people look at that person in a different light when they can relate that type of caricature to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they never really, they made fun of Trump, but they never did that same thing with Bush. That made it as funny to me. I think
I think what they did with Trump was like, it became I think the last 4 years has really been kind of the height of a real culture war. And I think it went from lighthearted jabbing to like, no, dude, this dude's fucked up.
Sure.
And we want you to know that he's fucked up. Totally. It's like...
Totally.
You're right.
They kind of forget they're a comedy but show.
Exactly.
Yes. And
I think that happened with a lot of
sure
comedy. But I also understand where it's like...
But that's where a lot of comedy is born, too. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. A lot of things that were happening in the last 4 years were kind of dangerous.
Sure, very.
So it's like, yeah, you can't really make light of that.
Right.
You also can't really ignore it. Like, I understand where that's a hard place to be as a comedian, as sure a writer. To be like, I can't ignore current events,
right,
but I also can't downplay how serious some of this
sure
shit is.
Sure.
So it's a rock and a hard place. And I think next year, like next season, we'll see some really fun, lighthearted jabbing
so
at Biden.
Right. Like I miss the...
I think they're looking at the last half of the season as like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
We need a palate cleanser. Yeah. We need some optimism.
Yeah.
Let's
I agree with you.
Let's make fun of shit. And like, again, like the Ted Cruz thing, like, yeah, that could have been a whole cold open.
Yeah.
Nope. Let's make him one of four characters in this and just make a couple of jabs probably a poor choice.
Right. Right. I recorded it, but I didn't watch it. Did you watch Kenan's show?
No.
I think it was just a rerun from earlier in the week, right? It wasn't.
Yeah, it was like an
it's not like a late night show, is it? It's
no.
Not, yeah, I didn't think so. Just a sitcom-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it had like Chris Rudd's in it, or Chris Redd's in it, and a couple other people I think from SNL are in that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I love Kenan, man.
He like Kenan.
He makes me laugh.
Yeah. I like him, but I like every commercial I've seen for that has been like,
it looks
all right, I'll
cheesy
take it or leave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it looks entirely fine.
It reminds me of that kind of shitty one Bobby Moynihan did when he first left too. It was like Uncle Frank or something. I don't know, something you know, something random like eh. Good.
It looks entirely fine, and I think I would be interested in watching it if I wasn't watching Mr. Mayor.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because I'm watching Mr. Mayor, and it is, again, one of those, it's like, it's entirely fine. It's a palate cleanser for me.
Right.
I watch it every week because it's only 20 minutes. It's not laugh-out-loud funny. It's not one of the great sitcoms.
Oh, John messing up microphones again.
It's not like one of the great sitcoms, but hold on a second.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, I got this weird microphone hum that I'm trying to wrestle. But like, yeah, it's a show that is entirely fine to me. So like, Mr. Mayor gives me like, yeah, Bobby Moynihan's gonna give me two or three really good laughs.
Sure.
Yeah. Ted Danson is going to charm the hell out of me because I just love him. But it's not a show I'm going to go around recommending to people. Like, holy shit, dude, you got to watch Mr. Mayor.
Right. You can't wait when it's on. Oh, I can't wait to listen to that. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's like when I'm sitting around on Thursday, tonight. Right on. Yeah. And if I miss it, I'll be on Peacock 3 days later and be like, oh, yeah, there was a new one I haven't seen. Yeah. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably what the Kenan show would be.
Sure.
And I'm just, I don't need two shows like that at
That's
a given
fair.
Moment.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
And only... Kenan doesn't have Bobby Moynihan in it.
That's good.
And
point.
It's well discovered.
Yeah.
Well covered that
Yet.
I love Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah. Only there are a couple things I had. Of course, in Adam Sandler news, Happy Gilmore was 25 years old. How great was that?
That
I love
did
that.
You see Shooter's response?
They got to do something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you not? He's got that Netflix deal. Fucking do something.
Yeah.
I mean.
And with Netflix, especially. You could do like a 25-minute short.
Right, right. Not only that, but Apollo Creed's still out there doing his thing. Get Chubbs back. You know, you could do a Chubbs cameo. I mean, it's, you know, the only thing you don't have is Bob Barker. But, you know, that was a cameo anyway.
Yeah.
Beat up Drew Carey.
It'll be fine.
Beat up Drew Carey. Be fantastic. Yeah. It'd be fantastic.
You could totally do that. I did last week, too. I watched In and of Itself on Hulu.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Really?
Watch it.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you anything else.
Don't. All right. I know
just
what you're referring to, but I have not. Yeah.
Derek Delgadio's In and of Itself.
Okay.
Really cool. I mean, it's a little pretentious, as any one-man show would be. but
Gen X,
right?
I'm a little pretentious, so it all works out.
But like, really fucking good.
All right, cool.
I was really pleased with the hour and a half I spent on it.
Nice.
It's on Hulu. All
right, I'll give it a shot. Last thing I had in there, totally random. Did you see The Rock is open to a presidential run?
Oh, God.
Would you vote for The Rock?
Fuck no.
What?
The fuck out of here. I don't. No. 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 If The Rock can't make peace with Vin Diesel, how do I expect him to make peace with Russia?
First off, The Rock should not make peace with Vin Diesel because he's clearly in the wrong. Next question. You telling me you give me a Rock Tom Hanks ticket? You're not signing that? Your name on the line?
No, no, I'm not. No. And I love Tom Hanks.
Dwayne and Tom?
I don't want Tom in charge of my country. And I love him. But no. Fuck no. He's America's dad, not America's leader.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I know. I don't want it. I'm not saying it would ever happen. I kind of doubt it. But he's open to it.
Okay. We live in a world.
We do.
Where Donald Trump was just president.
In a world.
Which, again, regardless of your politics, is the type of thing you look back on and be like,
it is.
Huh.
It is. That happened.
That guy from The Apprentice was the president.
Yeah.
The Rock is well loved by a lot of people.
He is.
I would.
Way more.
I wouldn't bet against him being president.
That's what I'm saying.
And that makes me sad.
How, the thing is, if someone like that decides to run for president, how do you beat that? You can't. You really couldn't, because...
I don't know. I think you could based on, like... I think you could if you're like, look what happened last time we voted a celebrity as president. It didn't end well for anyone.
But then he just smiles at you.
And you say...
He flexes.
Yeah, he smiles at you and you say, you know what? You could be the governor of somewhere.
That's true, yeah.
But I don't want you to be president.
I think he could figure things out with Putin. They go bareback horseback riding.
Again, if he can't make peace with Vin Diesel, how can he make peace with anyone?
This is what you do. You keep your enemies closer, so you make Vin Diesel, you know, Secretary of Defense
State.
Or something. Sure, sure.
But Secretary of Family.
But you... he is definitely the head of Homeland Security.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, anyway, fucking Vin Diesel. I can't remember what the hell the movie was, but his face popped on, and I audibly, by myself, ugh, and just turned the channel. Don't even know what it was. I just, ugh, and his click.
Oh.
So that's all I got. Rock 2032.
Fuck you.